Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And this is Ed Short.
And Ed's computer is making all kinds of noise here, but that's okay. You probably can't hear it because the music's still playing a little bit. And is that your phone messaging?
Yes, it's connected to my computer. I just muted it. So.
That's okay. That's all right. It happens all the time. It's not the first time. So, friends, we're glad you're with us here today. It's actually Memorial Day weekend 2020. They're starting to lift some of the restrictions, so a lot of people are traveling. Rick and his wife, Rick's not with us today because he went to visit one of their children in Ohio. So we're glad you're here. My name is Mark Martin, and if you want to contact me, you can reach me through mark@prophecyhope.com.
And if you want to contact me, it's ed@prophecyhope.com.
So, yeah, we're a little out of order there. I got to laughing at Ed and his computer. It's kind of funny. But first of all, you know, every week we always like to take a little time and thank Ray Powers for what he does for us and keeping New Visions Radio managed and the programming going. It's quite a job, and we just want to thank him for giving us this time every week. He carves out a little time for us every Sunday at 7 p.m., and that's Eastern time, to listen to Bible Answers. And also, we have a website, which is prophecyhope.com, and you can go there, and you'll find sermons by Ed and by me, by Rick. And we've had a couple of visitors, right. Not many, but we've had some visitors come and speak, and you're welcome to go to the website and find all kinds of information. And also, we have a church service every weekend,
yes,
don't we?
Every Sabbath or Saturday, we meet and have our church service. We have a Bible study portion, which we call Sabbath School. That meets at 9:30. And then we have a worship service that starts at 11.
And that's every week. So you can tune into that. And you'll see it's kind of like just a discussion, a Bible discussion.
Right.
And we'd like you to tune in for that. And if you're in the area, if you're ever in Stanton, Virginia, we're at 1743 West Beverly Street. And it's always nice. We always love having visitors, and you're welcome to stop in. We do have a midweek Bible study that we don't stream online, but you're welcome to come. That's every Wednesday night. Also, you know, every year, for those of you who have been listening for a long time, every year we have a Bible prophecy series. And it's not going to be any different this year in that it'll be 6 nights. It'll start September 28th, and it'll go through October 3rd, and that'll be every evening streamed live at prophecyhope.com at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I think as far as announcements and things, I think that's about it. And so, Ed, would you mind opening with a word of prayer before we begin our study?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for your word and the knowledge and wisdom it brings us of the plan of salvation, of your love for us, and the hope and victory we can have in Christ. Father, as we study this book of 1 John in chapter 4, give us wisdom and understanding. And may you send the Spirit of truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, Ed, you know, last week I think we stopped in verse 11 of chapter 4, which says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Yes.
So, and this is actually the mark of a Christian, isn't it?
Yes.
How we treat others. And it goes back to the old golden rule that a lot of people call it, that we should treat others the way we want to be treated.
Didn't Jesus say to his disciples that people know you by your love for one another?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing. You know, just think of the love that the Father has for us, as we read last week in this study, that he gave his son. I can't imagine. Now, Ed, you have two sons.
Yes.
And can you imagine that kind of love to give any one of your sons for someone else?
I don't see how I could do that.
Yeah.
The story of Abraham and Isaac. I don't know how in the world Abraham could do that.
You know? Well, yeah, but he had faith in God.
Yes, he did.
I mean, that's what it all boils down to, isn't it? And I don't understand it either. I really can't. It's hard to comprehend the love that God has for people in general. So where were we going to pick up here? Did you have any comments or something that maybe from last week, or you want to just jump right into 1 John chapter 4? and verse 12.
Well, this little section in my Bible is entitled God is Love.
Okay.
So it's talking about the love of God. And I think we can just pick up and start reading at verse 12.
Okay. Would you do that?
Yeah. This is the modern King James Version of the Bible of 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And if we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Wow.
Yeah. So, Ed, you've got a look on your face here that people can't see.
It's like people are going to think we only talk about one thing.
It's throughout the Bible, though. I mean, it's right here. It's right in our face.
Yeah.
What's the saying to you?
If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. God dwelling in us, his love being perfected in us, allows us or enables us to love one another.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And the other thing, there's a number of messages here, because when it says here, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, and,
yes.
You know, I think it's interesting that this comes up quite often, too. I think most Christians would say that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
But many of them also believe that he is, and I'm saying this with air quotes, God the Son.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what the Bible says anywhere. It always says he's the Son of God.
You mentioned the fact that I have two sons.
Yes.
Yeah. They're in their late 20s.
Okay.
Actually, Eric's 30 and Austin's 28. But I'm 61.
Wow, Ed.
So.
I didn't say it.
So they're not as old as I am.
No, they're not.
So if Jesus is actually the Son of God, literally the Son of God.
Right.
He's not as old as his father.
Yeah, a father always is older than his son.
Yeah.
And I understand, again, if you're tuning in for the first time, we do not believe that Jesus is created, but he's what the Bible says. He's begotten. He's begotten of the Father. In fact, this verse 12 that you just read, no one has seen God at any time.
Right.
I want to turn back to the Gospel of John, because this John makes the same comment in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, it takes me just a second, friends. Ed's got that lightning fast computer. He's already there. I do it the old-fashioned way. And I'm the young one here. What's up with that?
Yeah.
So John 1:18, it says here, again, he says, no one has seen God at any time. That's the same exact words. But then he says, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So John had a clear understanding that Christ was from his Father from some time in eternity past. And we've done a number of lectures on this. We've talked about this on some of the radio programs. And so you can find those archived if you want to hear more or you want us to go a little more in depth, we can. But I just found it interesting. When you started that off, no one has seen God at any time. I want to make clear too, Ed, I do believe that Adam and Eve, before they sinned, saw God.
Yes.
So what is it that separated them from God?
It's sin.
It was the sin
yeah.
that separated them. So now that they had sinned, they needed a go-between or a mediator, and that's the beauty of the Son of God.
So that leads to a question.
Okay.
You know, that first verse we just read, 1 John 4:12, mm-hmm. says, for if we love one another, God dwells in us.
Yes.
How does God dwell in us?
Through his Spirit and through the Spirit of his Son.
Can we look at that in the book of John again?
Let's do that.
Chapter 17, and look at verses 20 to 24.
All right.
And just to kind of maybe give a little background to John 17, this is a prayer that Jesus is praying to Jehovah, the Father of Christ.
That's right.
And as we go into this chapter in verse 20, Jesus is saying, "And I do not pray for these alone, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word." Talking about his disciples who he's praying for.
Sure.
Those who shall believe on me through their word is you and I.
Yes, we're disciples of Christ, right? Yeah. Anybody who follows Christ is a disciple of Christ.
We are looking at the book of John, a disciple of Christ, and we gain knowledge and understanding and faith and belief because he tells us about it.
Sure, that's any Christian in the world who believes in Christ is a disciple of Christ.
So Jesus is praying for us there.
He is.
Going on in verse 21, "That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those whom you have given me, that they may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world."
The glory which you have given me.
Yes.
You see, Jesus receives everything from his Father, doesn't he?
But listen to verse 23.
Okay.
"I in them and you in me." Mm-hmm. We know that when Christ was baptized, that the Spirit of God was given to him, came down to him like in the form of a dove. And John the Baptist says it was given without measure.
Right.
And we know that from our study of the gospel that God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
That's in Romans, isn't it?
So when we have the presence of Christ in us, we have the presence of the Father, because the Father dwells, Spirit dwells in Christ.
Yes.
So when we look at 1 John 4:12, if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us.
That's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And friends, this might, you might say, well, wasn't this the message last week or maybe the week before?
And the week before that?
But isn't that what John is doing here?
Yeah.
He's trying to sound this down for us. He's trying to make it clear. We need to hear things sometimes over and over before we get it. I know I do. I'm pretty stubborn a lot of times. And so I need to hear it. And it helps me to hear these things over and over. Go ahead.
We didn't write these words.
No. We're just reading through the account of 1 John, and it keeps coming up over and over again.
Yeah.
And so there was a thought that I had, and I was thinking about this. Oh, where you were just reading in John 17. Let me go back there, because I closed back to 1 John, where you were reading in John 17, where, let me see, it says here, "The glory which you gave me, I and them. Father, I desire that they also," in verse 24, "I desire that they also, whom you gave to me, be with me where I am." There was something that you read there that struck a thought of someone that I was talking to recently saying that, I'm drawing a blank, Ed, I can't remember, and it came to me when you were talking, but I was listening to you.
Well, so, in verse 24, in the modern King James, it says, "I desire that those whom you have given me, that they may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world."
Oh, the foundation of the world. It reminded me. Thank you for reading that, because it reminded me, the foundation of the world. Look, Adam and Eve were there. They were created on the sixth day.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in Genesis, let me see if I can find that real quick. I believe it's Genesis chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, where it says here that God created them. Oh, here it is, verse 24. It says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." They shall become one. Somebody had sent me an email the other day stating that, well, the Father and the Son are one. Well, yes, they are, but they're not one person.
Yes.
They're one in nature because they're both divine. They're one in purpose. right?
I was thinking about this very same subject last night.
Were you?
Yes.
That's when I got the email, was last night, yeah, from somebody. There's another ministry that I'm part of, and I had put out a video, and they were questioning the begotten Son. And they were saying, well, Jesus said the Father and I are one. And I said, well, Adam and Eve were one.
It speaks to the closeness of their relationship.
Yes, it does. And that's the thing that John is saying here, that we can have that closeness to, yes, where we can be one with the Father and Son. But it doesn't make us different from who we are in a literal sense, but it can change our character. Isn't that true?
We were talking just a few minutes ago with another lady that we know.
Yes.
About having God and His Son involved in your life on a moment-by-moment basis.
Right.
Versus just coming to church once a week.
Yeah. It's easy just to show up once a week. Yeah. Or some people just go at Christmas time or just at Easter. Yeah. And, you know, where's room for God?
Yeah.
You know, we need to have this oneness. Could you imagine if I just showed up to see my wife once a week at home? How do you think that would go?
Probably not very well.
It wouldn't go very well, would it? Just show up once a week. Well, I'm here to eat. Feed me and I'll be on my way.
But God desires to dwell in us,
yes,
through His Son.
Absolutely. And the only way that can happen, which we've talked about over and over, but we're going to continue to talk about it whenever it comes up in the Bible, is sin has to be removed, yes, from us. God sent His Son to save us from our sins.
Yes.
And when Jesus came to save us from our sins, He didn't come so that we could keep sinning and He save us.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. God loves us so much, but the evilness of sin He cannot tolerate. And in order to overcome that, because of His love for us, He sent His Son,
amen,
Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in my place, your place,
right,
to cover my sins and allow us to have a relationship with Him through the presence of His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God.
Amen.
God didn't send His Son because sin is so evil, it separates us from God. He didn't send His Son to die on the cross, to forgive us our sins, so we can continue to sin and,
right,
continue to be separated from God.
That's right. And look, just a few weeks ago, we read through this text, and that was in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruitage of,
right,
God's Spirit. And then, you know, it's interesting that it enumerates in here all of these things that are not acceptable,
right,
to God.
They go against the commandments of God.
They go against His commandments.
Yeah.
And so when we read these texts, you know, here's what it says. I'll just read it. Galatians 5:16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's telling me that if I do what God wants me to do, then what happens to sin? It goes away.
Yeah. Huh? It's like Christ in you, the,
yes,
hope of glory.
Yes. So in other words, I'm an individual, you're an individual.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate in the Bible we've seen accounts where Satan has actually possessed people.
Right.
He's entered them, it says.
Entered Judas.
Yes. So I don't want Satan's spirit in me.
Right.
I would much rather have the Spirit of Christ in me. So whichever spirit is in you is going to be what your personality shows.
Who you chose to obey.
Are you succumbing to the devil? Or to the Lord?
Whose character do you take on?
That's it. And that's exactly what John's talking about when he's talking about these things.
So in 1 John, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 15, it also says, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God.
Yeah. So in other words, didn't Jesus take pains with his disciples to make sure that they understood who he was?
That he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
Not someone else.
Right.
He's not the person of God himself.
That's right. He is the divine Son.
Yes.
But he is not God the Son.
You know, you and I had an introduction into a man that taught us a few things mm-hmm. in terms of Christ is the Son of God, and because he is the Son of God, he is divine, because right. God is divine. We know that a dog produces a dog,
right.
a tree produces a tree, a human produces a human, but my sons are not either one myself.
Right. Right.
And so Jesus is not the person of his Father. He is from his Father.
Right.
He proceeded forth and came forth from the Father.
That's right.
He's the Son of God.
Amen. That's what makes him a son.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how Christianity, unfortunately, from the, you know, and friends, I don't know if you know it, but this understanding that there are three divine beings and that Jesus is just called the Son of God came from about the 3rd or 4th century.
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous doctrine that has been pushed, almost forced into the Christian church. And John, this same John that wrote this book of 1 John, had a clear understanding of who Christ is.
And what difference it makes.
Absolutely. Makes all of the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So where do we stop there in verse 16? Did you have another thought in this section?
I'm just trying to figure out where we left off.
I think you read through verse 16.
Okay. All right.
And so did you have another thought, or you want to move along? There's a lot here, isn't it?
Yeah, there is.
It's a lot to talk about.
Well, it talks about the love of God mm-hmm. in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has in us. God has love in us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him.
Right.
The ability to love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't come easy all the time, does
to
it?
To love your enemy.
That's even harder.
It only can be done through Christ in us and the presence of his Father in us as well.
That's very true.
Because God is love.
Yeah, we can maybe put on the persona. But, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So if I say something, you know, if I get angry and something comes out of my mouth, chances are that's what I was really thinking.
If the pressure of the situation is strong enough, it's eventually going to come out what's in your heart.
That's very true.
It's going to be automatically come out.
That's very true.
Unfortunately, it happens not to the best at times.
It's I'm human and I err every day, so... But through this relationship with the Father and his Son, we can overcome those things. I know it sounds impossible, but that's the promise that God has given us.
Well, do you want to read the next five verses?
Sure. The next five verses, beginning, this is 1 John 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You want to stop there?
Sure. Verse 17, mine starts out a little differently than your version. It says, in this is our love made perfect.
Ah.
Speaking of the verses we have just read, in this being that God in us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is what that's saying.
In this our love is made perfect. And because God is in us and our love is made perfect, perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
We need not have fear.
Right.
Even though I may at some point take my last breath in this world.
Right.
I shouldn't have fear. Even though the chaos of the world that's happening around me, I should not have fear.
Right.
And this can happen because God dwells in you through the presence of Christ.
Absolutely.
We can have the peace that only God and his Son can give us.
Yeah, there's a text. Let me see if I can find that. You're talking about peace.
Yeah.
You know, how many Christians... do you know that through this situation that we're going through, this COVID, are panicking?
Yeah.
And then how many people that aren't Christians are panicking? You know, truly, if we all have worries, we all have things that we don't want to happen. We don't want to lose our homes. We don't want these things to happen.
You know, at this point, with everything that's happened in the world, in the United States here, people have lost their jobs, the ability to earn money to buy food and clothing and rent and provide for their families. And that brings about anxiety and fear.
That's it. And if you look, verse 18 says, perfect love casts out fear.
Yes.
It casts it out. So if I have the love of Christ in me, then these things aren't going to, they're not going to affect me in a way that's going to make me make a rash decision.
We're also going to know of the promises in God's word.
Hmm. Yes.
You know, the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him and delivers them. We just read that not too long ago.
Yeah, we did. We did. So it's, this is, there's so much here. You know, this, this John is, wasn't his, didn't he say the one who Jesus loved?
Yes.
He says that about himself?
Yeah. he puts it in the third person, I believe.
Yeah, it's interesting. And he did speak a lot about love, more than any of the other writings that I can find in the New Testament. But so he had a comprehension of these things. Did you have any other thought here in verses 17 through 19?
Yes, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us.
Yeah,
our love for God is in response to his love for us.
Sure.
I mean, and I've mentioned this before, don't you want to be with those who love you and treat you well?
Absolutely, we do.
And their love for you makes you love them and want to be with them and want to do well for them.
Sure. Yeah, when you meet somebody for the first time, if they treat you kindly on that first impression, you're going to want to be around them again.
Yeah.
But if they don't treat you very nice, chances are you're not going to want to have anything to do with them.
Right.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. So my Bible has this little subscript in the next verses that says obedience by faith.
Okay.
Boy, that's a bad word in today's society. Obedience.
It seems to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obey? Do I have to obey anyone?
Well, obedience is pretty much in the news today.
Yeah, that's very true.
With quarantine issues and not going out of your homes and doing different procedures to keep people safe.
Very true. Yeah, follow the laws, right?
Yeah.
Obedience. And if you think about obedience in a lawful sense, especially when we're driving a car, obedience to those laws can save your life many times. If I don't stop at a stoplight or a stop sign.
So the laws that are in place now during this COVID-19 time period we're living in, and majority are meant to be for people's benefit.
Yes, they are.
Okay. What about God's law?
Well, that has to be for nothing but our benefit, doesn't it?
Do people in the world see it as such? Or do they see it as restriction?
I have to be honest, Ed. Quite a few years ago, when I first read the Bible and saw, I had read it many times, but I saw Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, that speak about the Sabbath commandment.
Uh-huh.
I knew what the commandments were, but for some reason I hadn't read it. Well, that law seemed restrictive to me.
Says, remember to keep the Sabbath holy.
Yeah, and not to do any work in that day. And to me, you know, my business was open on Sabbath. So that was, well, now you're infringing on my rights.
Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's Saturday, exactly. My business was open every Saturday for years. And, you know, I felt like, well, now you're infringing on, not only are you taking away my time, but you hit me in the wallet.
Yeah.
Those are two things that people don't like to have taken from them, is their time and their money. Right.
So if we were saying that the law is a benefit, it's for people's benefit, for their well-being, and that you're thinking that the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments is not to your benefit.
Yeah. Who makes that decision?
Yeah. So, but you made a change. You made a choice. You made a decision
Absolutely.
In your life. Why have you experienced the benefit by doing that?
Yes, I have. It's been the benefit far outweighs the quote unquote restriction.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I'll give you a quick example.
Please.
Because what had happened was I was open for 6 days a week in an automotive repair shop, and you know I've got a group of guys that work for me, so their livelihoods, they're working by commission.
You know,
they get paid according to the jobs they do. So if I close one day of the week, and it happened to be that Saturday is usually your busiest day because so many people are off of work and getting their cars fixed on that day.
Right.
In fact, it's interesting that most retailers do most of their business from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
And what's the significance of those two time periods?
That's when the Sabbath begins, sundown Friday, and ends at sundown Saturday.
Right.
So it's interesting that the devil has taken this holy day and made it business's busiest day.
Yeah.
And when a day when we're not supposed to be doing trade, it's the day when people are doing most of their trade. Mm-hmm. So what happened, once I studied and I learned the love of God in why he wants us to keep a Sabbath, so we can be with him, so we can commune with him. And I took that stand. I had to pray about it because I knew I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to close my business on the most profitable day of the week. And I prayed about it, and I did it. And I will tell you that we do more work in 5 days now than we ever did in 6 days. Yeah. I was blessed beyond what I could tell you. And you know the story about the auction.
Auction, yes.
So do I have to share that now?
You mentioned it. You better. So let me set you up.
Please.
You took 10 years to make this decision.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
And then you made the decision, okay, this coming Sabbath, I'm going to keep.
I'm keeping the Sabbath. I prayed about it.
Yes.
That's right. And I said, Lord, I'm going to keep the Sabbath starting this coming Sabbath.
And then your wife comes to you and tells you what?
She came to me and she says, hey, there's an auction this weekend, an automotive auction. And it happened to be right next to my shop where mm-hmm. there was a Porsche dealership. And he was going to be selling a bunch of equipment and things like that. And I got to be honest, I felt my heart sink.
Yeah.
And I thought, I just prayed last night that I would keep this Sabbath holy and I would try to do it from now on. And she comes to me with this news of, well, this Saturday, there's an auction. And of course, that's what most auctions are. And I told her I can't go. And I told her why. And she went. And she told me it wasn't a very good auction. There was a lot of stuff there, but people didn't know what it was mm-hmm. because they weren't automotive related. So that following Monday, I go in and I go to my next door neighbor, the Porsche dealership, and I talk to the owner there. And we're good friends. And he said to me, I said, how was your auction? He said, it was terrible. And I said, how so? He said, well, nobody knew what half of the stuff was. And I'm still stuck with all of this equipment and I need to sell it. So I said, well, let me take a look. There's a couple of things that I know you have that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and one of them, I'll just tell you, one of them was a gas analyzer, which analyzes the emissions coming out of the exhaust. And the other one was a fuel injector cleaner. And I'm sorry, the other one, not a fuel injector cleaner. The other one was a distributor machine. It was an old machine for setting up race car distributors.
Okay.
And I said to him, well, what do you take for these two items? And he looked at me and he says, I tell you what, you'd be doing me a favor if you just took them. And I said, what? He says, no, you can have them. He says, just take them. Take them with you. Just get them out of here. He says, in fact, take this fuel injection machine too. He threw that in.
Yeah.
So it was thousands of dollars. I was willing to pay several thousand dollars for this equipment. And I couldn't believe. I felt like that was God saying, you see, you do a little bit for me, and look at what I can do for you.
Yeah. There's, when God created the world, he set apart this day and sanctified it.
Amen.
And blessed it and made it holy.
Amen. So, you know, I think about that when we're talking about keeping the commandments of God. As Christians, it's a sad state of affairs when you go into a church today. Most churches, I think any Christian could say that this is true, and most of them don't keep the Sabbath day holy, and probably over half of them are either divorced or living in some kind of a live-in relationship with somebody.
That are against the law of God.
Right. So when we look at those things, you know, we can't change what's happened in our past. There's nothing I can do about the things that I've done. I've done things in my life that I regret. I can't change that. But what do I do from here forward?
Right.
You know, once I learn of something, if there's something in my life that God says, this is an abomination or this is a sin, I need to ask him to help me overcome that sin. And how I do that is by having Christ in me.
Yes.
Amen. You see, because I came to the Father through the Son and I said, Father, I'm claiming this promise. I want you to help me. I can't do this on my own, but he got me there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been years. I've been keeping the Sabbath and my business is closed. The guys are happy because they've got an extra day off.
Yeah.
And they're doing much better financially. And so the blessings didn't just help me. By my keeping God's commandments, it benefits others.
Right.
Because now I'm not going to steal from you, Ed.
Yeah. You know, we haven't even read the two verses you're talking about, but I want to stick with verse 19.
Sure.
We loved him because he first loved us.
Amen.
We love God and we show our love for him by being obedient to him. Because we want to be obedient to him. Because we understand his commandments are for our benefit. Out of love, he gave them to us.
Sure. When you love someone, you want to please them.
Yeah.
You do things that pleases them. That's a natural relationship.
Right.
And that's all God is asking. Is he's saying, if you do things for me, I will do an abundance for you. Yeah. He's already done it.
You can't outgive God.
You can't. He's already given.
Yeah.
He gave his son.
All right. Let's read these two verses, verses 20 and 21.
You want to read it? You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Wow, that makes a lot of sense. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Yeah.
That's the New King James.
Yeah, and this commandment is love your neighbor as yourself.
That's it. Yeah. And that's the thing. Friends, if you just consider that the first four commandments, what are the first four commandments for, Ed?
To honor and obey and recognize God for who he is.
Sure. And then the second commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself.
How to treat each other.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. So when Jesus came and fulfilled the law, all he was doing, he showed us how to do these things, didn't he?
How to be obedient to his Father.
Yes. And how to treat others.
Yeah.
I mean, he laid his life down for everyone. What a beautiful thing. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I never can get enough of thinking about these things.
Okay, so I'm listening to this broadcast.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how can this really happen, truly happen? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I love my enemy? How can I love my brother who I have a problem with?
Mm.
And yet we need to realize it's all those things we've been talking about for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It only can be done through the power of Christ living in you, to have his spirit, his character.
Right. Because we can't do it on our own. It's not easy, especially at first.
If I'm willing to examine my own heart, to be just me and God, no one else, not my wife, not my best friend, not my parent, not my son or daughter, just me and God. And God already knows what's in my heart, so I need to be honest with myself more than God, what's really in there. And to see that God knows all these things, and yet, in spite of all those things in my heart, he loves me and sent his son to die for me.
Mm.
Shouldn't I have the same attitude that God has towards me to other people?
Yes.
Recognizing I'm no better than anybody else.
Right.
And if God can do that for me, and God can do it in me, then that should lead me to rethink about my attitudes I have to other people, my thoughts and my feelings. And not saying it's still going to be easy.
Right.
But once we experience those things from God, we can then try to incorporate them into my character, my life, and give those same gifts that he's given me to other people.
Yes, by helping them to see what God has given you.
Yeah.
And it's a Go ahead.
It comes out in how I treat them, how I speak to them. You may not ever be able to restore a relationship, but you can still treat them well.
Amen. That's very true.
In spite of how people treat you.
Yeah. And it's not easy. I mean, it's not something, I don't think that when somebody makes you mad, it's not a natural thing for you to say, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's not natural.
Yeah.
That has to come from somewhere else.
And sometimes things people say and do to us hurts us.
Absolutely.
It can be very, very hurtful.
Yeah. So we love him because he first loved us. And you know, it's beautiful because we've gone back to the creation account many times of how he showed that plan of salvation to Adam and Eve right in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Showing what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And all of that is just, the Bible is just through and through, you see the same message. It doesn't change from start to finish. And unfortunately, there are people that think, well, that Old Testament, that's just some horrible stuff happened. Well, yes, some horrible things did happen, but it's usually, anytime something bad happens to me, most of the time it's a consequence of a bad decision I've made. Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to say this, and I don't think I've shared this on the radio program, but my dad gave me advice when I was a kid, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was probably some of the best advice he ever gave me. And it was, it just went out of my head. What were we talking about, Ed?
Treating people well that don't treat you well.
Oh, yes. Thank you. He said that if you ever have a decision to make, chances are the hardest decision is going to be the right decision.
Yeah.
Because in our minds, we want to make everything easy.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the right thing to do is not necessarily going to be the easiest thing to do. It's going to be the hardest.
Sometimes the plans I have for my life are as good as the plans that God, sometimes, it's fact, the plans I have for my life are not as good as the plans that God has for my life.
Right, he has better plans for me.
Yeah.
I mean, was it an easy decision for me to say to my wife, I'm not going to that auction? Yeah. That was so difficult. I wanted to go so bad. But the right decision was the hardest decision in that case.
And those types of decisions are involved in all parts of our life, in relationships, in what we do with our time, who we choose for friends,
mm-hmm.
do I have a relationship with God, finances, everything. You know,
it affects every aspect of our lives, doesn't it?
Oh.
It really does. And so, we'd started talking about this word obedience, and it led to all of that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
In every aspect of our lives, there's somewhere where we have to, as a child, I had to obey my parents.
Mm-hmm.
As an employee, I have to listen to what a boss says, right? Or when I drive down the road, I have to obey the laws. So obedience is vital in relationships.
Obedience to God has a direct relationship to happiness.
It does.
Being obedient to God will lead you to a better, more happy life.
Yes, in fact, I said this not too long ago in a sermon. Even if this was all a hoax, which I don't believe it is, I believe it's very real.
You mean the story of the Bible?
Yeah, if the Bible is just a made-up book, if I live by the principles that are in the Bible, my life will turn out better, whether it's true or not, whether these things happen. If there's no promise of eternal life, if it's not true, if I live according to what the Bible says, my life will be better now and until I die than it would be otherwise.
Yeah.
And I would challenge anybody to think about that. Think about the principles that are in the Bible. How much better is my life because I don't steal from someone? Because if I did, I could end up in jail, or I could end up being hurt by that person.
Mm-hmm.
I could end up hurting them by what I take from them.
Right.
So just follow what God says.
Yeah.
Follow the word of God,
and
your life will be better, no matter what.
David said, "Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know?
Yeah. You know, it's we can learn so much from God's word, and even the principles, the laws of the land, are built on the principles that are found in this.
Yeah, a lot
book.
Of them are. Yeah.
Yeah.
The foundation of the United States were
absolutely
a lot based on the principles of God's word.
Yes, they were. And look, I realize, you know, there are people all over the globe that listen to this outside of the United States. But yes, this country was originally built on Christian principles. And unfortunately, a lot of the country is going away from those principles. And you're seeing the results of that in lifestyles and homes being broken and illegitimate children. You know, all of these things are happening.
And politics.
Politics, yeah, everything. I mean, there's so much hatred in every direction. It's just unbelievable. And it's because we're leaving the principles that this country was built on. And so obedience by faith, that's the subscript that's here in 1 John.
Yeah.
And we read those two verses, didn't we?
Yeah. So can you believe it? We're in the last chapter, chapter 5 of 1 John.
Wow. It's taken us a little while to get there.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
it is. We don't have a time limit except for the hour that's carved out of the week for us here on New Visions Radio. So did you want to start with chapter 5?
Yeah, do you mind if I read the first five verses?
No, go right ahead.
1 John 5, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Jesus is the Christ, Christ being Messiah, mm-hmm. has been born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begets, also loves him who has been born of him. If you love God, you love his Son. If you love the Son, you love the Father.
Right.
By this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we love God and keep his commandments.
That's interesting. That's in the New Testament.
Yeah. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Mm.
For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
He says it again. He says it over and over, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, and I like the way, mine says the same thing there, using the New King James. For whatever is born of God, in verse 4, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is that?
Our faith.
It's our faith.
Yeah.
That's what helps us to overcome the world.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful text. You know, this other thing, as we go back up here, he talks about begotten,
mm-hmm.
born of God. Jesus is the Christ, born of God. You see, it shows that
he's the Son of
he's
God.
He's the Son. It's so clear.
It
when
is.
Look at these things. It's amazing.
But you know what? We've talked about this before. There's so many different denominations, religions, mm-hmm. whatever out there. And I've said this to you before. Most churches, at least in the United States, have a sign out in front of their church.
Right.
And they have information about their services
sure.
when they're open. They often have scriptures put on or quirky little sayings sometimes.
Yeah, little sayings, yeah.
But how many of those signs say, we don't have the truth here?
Yeah, we teach a lie.
Yeah, no one believes, everybody believes that we have the truth.
Right.
So I'm not young anymore. I'm 61.
You're not old.
Well, I'm not young. So I grew up hearing this thing over and over and over again from my church. And so this in my mind is the truth. I have the truth. I know this is the truth.
Yeah. I grew up hearing the same thing, Ed.
And so when I go into God's word and see that Jesus is the Son of God, literally.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But you're right, it is so clear.
It was so eye-opening to me because I always believed he was the Son of God, but not in a literal sense.
Yeah.
So what a shocker when the scales fell off of my eyes and I could see what the Bible actually said. What a beautiful message. And really, to me, Ed, it made that sacrifice that God gave in giving his Son that much more precious.
So in 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
That's it.
You know, going back, this is so clear in 1 John 5, the first few verses here.
Mm-hmm.
By this we know we love the children of God, whenever we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Yeah, what does
this
that
mean? This is the New Testament, you know, where people say God's commandments have been done away with.
Yeah, so I guess it means, all right, I guess I'll keep the Sabbath if I have to.
That's a burden.
That's a burden, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
when I have to close my business, that's a burden.
Yeah. You know, and let me tell you, friends, don't feel like it's abnormal if at first you say, wow, this is really difficult.
Yeah.
Now, Ed, you've been a Sabbath keeper all of your life.
All my life, yeah.
And I wasn't. And so for me, I just want to share this as a testimony for those who may say, you know, I've studied the Sabbath and I think I need to do that. I'm going to be honest. For me personally, my personal testimony was, especially when my wife came to me, that day was a long day.
Yeah.
That first Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then the next Sabbath, I remember, well, you know, this is what a blessing I got. I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm like, I want to do God's will.
It is a blessing. I look forward to Friday evening, start of the Sabbath at sunset.
I do too. And the other thing is this, there were times when I, you know, especially in the summertime when the days are longer, you know, mm-hmm. in the wintertime when they're short, you don't have much. It just gets dark so early.
Right.
But in the summertime when the days are longer, there were times that I was thinking during the Sabbath, you know, I really could be doing this or doing that or painting this. I would think that. I'm just being honest.
Right.
But I'd pray about it. I overcame those things. It was just a few times that happened to me. And now I look for reasons to, maybe I can prolong the Sabbath a little longer.
Yeah. You know, even though I grew up keeping the Sabbath, you know, as times when I was a kid, it was difficult because of those same things that you mentioned. It wasn't until I developed my own relationship with God and developed my own faith.
That's the key. You know, I can't keep the Sabbath for you.
Right.
And I can't do anything to help another one. I mean, I can show them what I do or tell them about it, but there's nothing that I can do that will cause them to enjoy it.
Right.
You know, a typical Sabbath. Can you, since we're talking about keeping the commandments, and that seems to be one that a lot of Christians struggle with, what does a typical Sabbath look like for you, Ed?
Okay. I prepare for it.
Okay.
Okay, in the Bible, there's a term called Preparation Day, talking about Fridays. But I make my Preparation Day Thursday, especially because I work all day, I get home, and especially in the wintertime, there's no time to do anything. I clean my house, I, you know, try to get things ready for Sabbath in terms of what am I going to eat. So I don't have to do a lot of things on the Sabbath day.
Right.
So I try to prepare. So when it comes Friday night, I may be outside on my back deck if it's summertime, just enjoying God's nature and all the birds in my backyard and enjoying the sun setting and just the relaxation, not having to worry about everything. Everything's taken care of.
Sure.
All the issues that I need to deal with, whether it's financial, relationship, whatever, I can just push aside.
Yeah.
And then just enjoy the onset of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is, and usually in the evening, Friday, I'm looking into God's Word.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometimes talking to someone on the phone or whatever. And then Sabbath morning, people think, why are you at church so soon? I usually get here about 8:30 and turn things on and make sure everything's working, the computers are working and stuff, and have some music playing. And depending on what I'm doing, I'll put my sermon stuff on the computer if I'm preaching or if I'm teaching, get that ready. And I just enjoy being in the house of God.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it? So then we have a Sabbath school and a worship, and then after that, sometimes in the afternoon, we'll have a fellowship meal together.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll go out walking or go up on the parkway for a ride.
Yeah, the Blue Ridge Parkway is a beautiful mountain here.
Car or maybe motorcycle and,
isn't that nice?
And enjoy God's nature. Sometimes I'll go visit people.
Yes.
Try to encourage
them.
That's
a wonderful thing to do. Maybe even have a Bible study sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people think it's very restrictive. And I will tell you, for me at first, it seemed that way.
Yeah.
But the blessings that I have received now, you know, when Sabbath comes, I too, when I was working full time, I would do my preparation on Thursday also. Yeah. Once I learned the Sabbath truth. And, you know, friends, I just want to encourage you. There might be some of you that are listening to this. You read through the commandments and you say, you know, it says I should not commit adultery. Maybe you're living with someone that you're not married to. Well, think about those things. Once you, when you fine tune your life and get in accord with what God wants you to do, it's so much better. You know, we all have vices and things in our lives that we have to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I covet, or maybe I have a sense of wanting to steal. I don't, fortunately, but I'm just saying, we all have different things that
maybe haunt us. I don't treat my parents very well.
That's true. You're disrespecting your parents. Yeah.
Or maybe I use God's name in vain.
Yeah, sure. So I can't believe we're out of time. But next week, we'll start here. We'll read through verses 1 through 5. And then we've got some interesting things that are coming up here in the next couple of verses that we really need to discuss.
Right.
But friends, we appreciate you tuning in. We need to close with prayer, and then we'll sign off. And Ed, this was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this with us. So let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible, and for the fact that we can just read through this and we can come to know you and your Son. We can learn more about how Christ can dwell in us and how we can be changed, not just simply from reading your word, but from having Christ to actually enter into our hearts and help us to change from within. We ask that you will be with each listener today, that you will bless them through the week, and until we come together on next Sunday, we just pray that you will guide them and direct them and lead them into truth. We pray these things, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks again for doing this every week.
Yeah, it's been
week
great.
By week. It's been a lot of fun. And Rick, hopefully, will be back with us next week. And until next time, friends, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.